Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nope.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
Nope.
Don't.
For another place,
and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook, right
just
here.
A white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get
low
there.
Budget live, the not so live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in beautiful Southern Middle Tennessee. I almost said Southern Mississippi, and I don't know why. Maybe because of that song, Biloxi Blues, is about getting the hell out of Mississippi, written by me, sang by me, and you can find it all over the place. A lot of y'all still ask that every week, and why not? Why not segue with that? Goodness. Microphone is sick. My microphone is, I got to replace this. Y'all hear that week in and week out. I got to replace that cord, that old XLR cable. Yeah, I'm scatterbrained. I am sick AF, as the kids say. It's the first weekend I have had at home in about five. And ain't nobody got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this. It's MPFL Championship Week. The weather is beautiful at my house, and I want to be fishing and not hacking and starting. It was inevitable, man. I've been traveling a lot, and finally caught up with me. Dadgum microphone, calm down. All right, this is the podcast for Monday, March the 4th, you bunch of lowlifers. And if you're wondering what that is, it's what you are. If you were listening to this and watching this and all that good stuff, appreciate everybody that joined me on the Actually Live last week with Drew Gill, Todd Castledine. Such a great time, man. I love doing those lives, and, you know, going to try to make more time for that this year. Y'all know that's the plan as always, but, sometimes life gets in the way. Life gets busy. We're playing basketball right now. Big Wes and the Lawrence County Wildcats are still in the tournament. They're in sub-state, and they're going to play, as you listen to this, Monday, March 4th, they're going to be playing in Chattanooga, Tennessee in the first round of sub-state. They lost the region championship last week, but the top two advanced. So we were going to get to host it at home, which have been very cool. It's been a minute since we've got to do that in Lawrence County in Tennessee here, but moving on to sub-state. So, man, I want to do a lot. We've been playing so much basketball that it's been hard to commit to anything because I never know really when we're going to play and what's happening. But it's been a really fun season. So good luck to the Lawrence County LCHS Wildcats. Go Cats! Tonight as they embark on as y'all are listening to this tonight, as they try to keep moving on. Yeah, man. Sick AF, as I said. It's also MPFL Championship Week. Looking forward to that. We have 26 NPFL anglers fishing for 100K. Everybody gets paid. It's down on Lake Amistad, down on the border. Gonna get a little crazy down there. And I expect, you know, that lake used to be phenomenal. Obviously, giant bags, the Elite Series back in the day were just some of my favorite tournaments that have ever happened. So to get to commentate an event, one of the first of its, the first MPFL championship, but one of the first events that's been down there, major events in a very, 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 very long time. I'm excited about it, man. Super excited to see how that goes down on the border. I feel like it'll be a shallow deal primarily, but you know, we'll see. We will see. Desert lake, clear water, timber, deep water, lots of things going on down there. It's got some grass in it, got a lot of things. Will it be a FFS, the three dreaded letters in tournament bass fishing, or will we get to see some actual sight fishing, which pisses people off equally? You never know. You never know what's going to make somebody mad and trigger them in live coverage these days. Giant bass triggering folks during the Elite Series all week. That is for sure. Another announcement that I've made on here, but the Hunt Club, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Bassmaster Classic, we're 3 weeks away. March the 23rd, 7 p.m., the Hunt Club, downtown Tulsa, is where we are doing LBL live. We're going to kick off a live podcast. You can watch it. I am going to hopefully stream it. I got to make sure that I can do that. But we're gonna try to stream from there and stream a live podcast, and then we will be playing music. I got a full band of heathens put together, and I got some very, very special guests, okay? Some very special guests. So you're going to, and guests on the show, you're going to want to tune in. And if you're in Tulsa, you're going to want to be there. It's not the biggest place in Tulsa, okay? So if you're coming, I just extend this warning to you, because in Knoxville last year, it got rowdy. Every time we've done one of these, they get rowdy, they pack out. Get there early, stay late. Get there early, stay late. But it is, it's going to be a large time in Tulsa. I will also be, if you're at the expo, maybe you're not in the bar crowd, maybe you don't want to come out to the Hunt Club, I will be doing a live podcast in the Express Boats booth. I'm not sure the time, somewhere around the middle of the day. I think we normally shoot for like 1 o'clock on those, but we haven't finalized that. I'll be having guests as well there. We'll be actually doing a podcast from an X21. We've done it every year for about the last four. It's a lot of fun. We get a lot of great people on. We'll be doing tons of giveaways. At the Hunt Club, though, I can tell you that night, lots of gear giveaways from all the folks that sponsor the show, support the show, from Baitworks to Gill. I've got some exciting announcements that night. We're going to be doing some giveaways from a couple different things that night. I can't wait, man. It's going to be a very special night. March 23rd is a date that I'm looking very forward to. So want to get that out of the way. And now let's do some sponsor reads real quick, like, and then we're going to jump in. First, this episode is brought to you by Fish Tips, fishtips.com. You can get on there, get all the information you need from guides that are out on the water. Maybe you don't want to book a guide. Maybe you just want to take your kids fishing yourself. Get on there, type it in, fishtips.com. Okay. You can use code LBL10 to let them know you're a low lifer and save you some money on a fish tip. Maybe you want to go to Guntersville. Maybe you want to go somewhere else. There's all sorts of fantastic anglers on there giving out fish tips at fishtips.com. Gillfishing.com. The folks at gillfishing.com want to give you a free gift for spending $100 and being a lowlifer at gillfishing.com. And right now it is a waterproof dry bag. I'm probably saying that wrong, but that is the gift right now. It just started. LBL gift is the code you can use at gillfishing.com. Go pick you up a new rain suit. Go pick you up a new sun shirt. Go pick you up some of the sun gloves. We're moving into that. They've also got boots. They've also got hoodies. They've got layering apparel. Gillfishing.com. LBL gift. ProGuideBatteries.com. These fellas have been in the battery business for many, many moons. You can get all your battery needs at ProGuideBatteries.com. Use code LBL10 to save on some of those amazing AGMs, to save on their new lithiums, their lithium trolling, their lithium cranking. They got what you need to get your boat right. They will also be at Red Crest. They'll be at the Classic. I'll be hanging with them definitely at the Classic. So come by and see them. ProGuideBatteries.com, code LBL10. Lets them know you are a lowlifer. Bait-works.com, Bait-WRX, your online home for all your tackle needs, and the exclusive online home for the LBL jig. Right here, the Power Finesse Jig with the LBL logo on the package. That LOB Power Finesse Jig, custom 3-0 trocar hook, available in 7 amazing colors, and that finer than frog hair skirt material. And we're releasing a new one at the Classic but you can use code Duncan-10 to save on everything on the bait-wrx, bait-works.com site. Let them know you're a lowlifer. And last but not least, you better hang that daggum banner, the imaginary banner. Now the Bassmaster Classic winning. Will we see another classic one out of an Express? We shall see. But the first ever aluminum boat to take a victory lap in a Bassmaster Classic, the X21 96-inch beam, one of the most stable fishing platforms out there with the faster-than-lightning hole shot provided by that Yamaha Show, 250 Show on the back of that bad boy. More tackle storage than you could shake a stick at. C-deck bow to stern. Go check them out, expressboats.com. Go to a boat show. Go to a dealer open house. Drive one. You will greatly appreciate it. Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. All right. Moving on. Got a great guest today that I'm very much looking forward to talking to. But there's something I got to, y'all see me on social if you follow me. And I'll be making them memes, you know, the meme videos. I think everything going on with the four-facing sonar, it's a shame to have sponsors and have a one really mic cable. It's just pissing me off. I'll get it swapped, I promise. I've got 50 in here. I'm just lazy. So this forward-facing sonar debate, like, I make jokes at it a lot on social media. I don't know which side. I want to start this by saying I don't know which side of this I'm on. I really don't. I've had LiveScope since the beginning. I've said that a million times. It's been out since 2018. I got it in June of 2018 on my boat. I did not realize what I possessed on the front of that boat. I have offshore fished almost my entire life, you know, whether it be just slinging and praying that you get a bite on an offshore hump on Pickwick Lake, or fast forward to side imaging years, actually knowing they were there, from going back in the day with my dad and getting a line up on a certain place where he had a bite one time, you know, triangulating. I mean, all things. I've done a little bit of everything. From an electronic standpoint, I remember my dad having an old flasher and being able to show you where fish were and being able to show you his bait on a flasher, you know, back when I was a kid. So, you know, I've been doing this since I was 10 years old. But I think what we're seeing now, and man, people are just, and again, squeaky wheels, they're pissed to a certain extent. And they just want to hammer on this youth movement, right? They want to, and just talk a lot of crap about kids and daddy's money and all these things. And I want to say this, you know, that's a bum ass take. if that is your take, that's a terrible take. And it just shows that you're insecure, right? About who you are, about what you've done in life, about what you are in life. And I think if you strip it back away from bass fishing and we look at it, I told my wife yesterday, I told the triple threat. We're living in the travel sports era, right? Where rec league sports, we've seen it around here, where rec league sports have really started being second fiddle to, and a lot of my friends call it daddy ball. but it's, hey man, I want Junior to be on this team. I want him to be better. So we're going to travel around. We're going to play different competition all over the place. We're going to spend every dime we have to make sure Junior gets the most, you know, the top of the line, whatever, whether it's coaches, whether it's trainers. We just see this now at 8, 9, 10, 12, you know, all the way up through high school age kids. We do see it. Is it right, wrong, or indifferent? They're playing baseball 12 months a year. They're playing basketball 12 months out of the year. They're playing football as much as they can. They're wrestling. They are, you know, we see people in the day we live in invest in their children more than they used to. We see it. They will take out second mortgages, whether that's right, wrong, or indifferent. We see it. I know friends of mine that can barely pay their damn mortgage that will make sure their kid gets to damn Gulf Shores, Alabama to play in a softball tournament. We do more for our kids now than ever before. And so it is spilling over into fishing, because what you have, and it pisses grown-ass men off for whatever reason, But you have this era where we're witnessing an amazing thing right now. We are. And it is a paradigm shift. We are seeing it. And you have the biggest youth movement we've ever had in the sport of tournament bass fishing ever right now, colliding with a technology that has been out since 2018, has been out even before that if you consider the old Panoptics. But it's a collision course that's happening with these younger anglers that are hungry. They have support behind them. They are fantastic with the tech. They study on YouTube. They put in the man hours on the water, off the water, Google Maps. They know more about these lakes before they show up than we ever have, than veteran anglers that have fished them 10 times. These guys know every detail about how every tournament was won, what area it was won in. It's incredible. It's incredible. But we do nothing but promote high school fishing and college fishing, and there are tons of these tournament-obsessed 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds to 25-year-olds in the sport right now, okay? What happens if you take them away? The sport dies. That's my honest opinion. You know, the average age, I said this on the live the other night, but the average age of a lot of tournament fishermen is in that 40 range, man. You got to be that to afford some of the equipment. Bass boats have gotten more expensive. The electronics, God knows, are a lot more expensive. But if we do not have an influx of youth at some point in this, like we are seeing, the sport that you all claim to love will die. Okay, so it's almost a give and take, right? In that, yes, it is changing before our very eyes, and it is not old boy beating up some lily pads and catching them on a pistol grip, Larry Nixon style from the Harris chain back in the day, right? It's not that, but what we are seeing is we were all wrong. Bass didn't do what we always thought they did, and I think that hurts more than anything, myself included. You are learning that maybe we didn't know what we were talking about. Maybe our heroes didn't know what they were talking about. Now, were they way off base by saying the things they were saying? No. They were giving us what they had based on the information they had, which they got with a rod and reel, right? Doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it right. But now what we're seeing with electronics is this real-time data. Drew Gill mentioned that, fax machine, he called it. But we're seeing this real-time data, and it's mind-blowing. We're seeing where, and look, I know the comments will be littered with people like, well, we didn't fish for those fish because they couldn't catch them without four-phase sonar, and they was out there. Them fish was out there, and they was just not getting fished for. Damn it. All right. So strip that back. So you telling me that as you're hammering on the keys that if you knew where a 9-pounder was 15 years ago, right, and you had a way to go fish for it and get that fish to bite, and your biggest bass you'd ever seen was a 4-pounder, you wouldn't go fish for that 9-pounder? You was just going to let it rest? It's like people that say they won't fish for a big one on the bed. Buddy, listen, there's a tiny percentage of people. If they look over there and they see a big-ass bass sitting there, they ain't going to cast at it, right? Like, you can get on the keyboards, you can say whatever you want to say, but you lie. You a damn liar. So, saying that, and I will, I get, and again, I want to say, I don't know where I'm at with all this yet. There's so much to process, but I do want to say that I think it's unfair, the hate that is coming towards these young anglers. You know, I'm watching this Trey McKinney. I've met Trey over the years. He's a great young man. He's got a great support system in a family. And as I record this on Sunday, he's potentially going to win the Bassmaster Elite. He's already caught over 100 pounds. I watched him right before I clicked the red button to record right here this morning, boat flip a 6'11 that he broke his rod on, skipping a boat dock. So, that's what scares everybody the most, is they can do whatever they want to do. Everybody's like, well, you take live scope away. Well, you know what? You can't put that scenario out there because it exists in their world. Trey was a pretty damn good fisherman before LiveScope. I mean, he's 19, but I know Trey's won a lot of tournaments. He had a fantastic mentor and a man named Ricky Cheatham that showed him the ropes, that's a fantastic angler and outdoorsman. And I can assure you, Trey knows how to catch one up shallow if he's got to go catch one up shallow. Trust me. And then he's dangerous with the LiveScope deal. But I think that you know, this happens in every sport. It happens in every music genre. It happens in life, right? We have these paradigm shifts, and you have gatekeepers that try to stop it from happening, myself included in that a lot of times. Look, you're looking at a guy that said, a YouTuber, I said this, and people still like to talk about it, that a YouTuber would never be a pro, and a pro couldn't be a YouTuber. And Ben Milliken's proven me wrong and everybody else wrong. He's fantastic. Two top tens in a row. And I've shared a boat with Ben. I could have told you he was a great fisherman. Did I think he, and I've said this to Ben, did I think that he had what it would take to bounce through the opens and all that? You know, when you've got it made in the shade, and he very much does, and he's a very hard worker on his YouTube stuff, why put yourself out there? But he did it, and he's been very successful. Two top tens in his first two events as an elite series angler. Got a win last year. He's fixing to go to the Bassmaster freaking Classic. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I've been one of those, like, well, bass fish tournaments are this, and then the YouTube. I've been in the middle of all that. I've ran my mouth about it. But I think what we're, you know, for me, I want to end with this. I started bass fishing at 10 years old. I was the only kid. The only kid in my bass club. If anybody from the Tennessee, Alabama bass club, listen to this. He'll tell you that. Started fishing tournaments when I was like 12. Started bass fishing at 10 with my dad. You know, I still remember my first buzzbait bite. I still remember the first 20-pound stringer we ever weighed in a tournament. I still remember my first 7-pounder. I still remember first 6-pound smallmouth I caught. A lot of these memories with my dad. I remember my dad teaching me how to read a paper map. I remember all these things, but I also remember whenever I learned the power of map cards and digital mapping and showing my dad and him being like, man, years of me staring at these maps and getting lineups just was erased. And I remember that. And I remember that feeling for him and for myself when I watched people from out of town come in and know where our honey holes were just because they had a map that pointed it out like a sore thumb, right? Stuck out like a sore thumb. I remember showing my dad side imaging the first time, and I remember getting good with side imaging and us winning a lot of offshore tournaments because I had it and a lot of people didn't have it, right? I remember the first time I ever caught one on 2D, dropping on it on drop shot because I watched Aaron Martins do it in a big tournament my dad and I were in, and him freaking out because I could see my bait on the screen and catch a big one. He was just mind blown. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget that. And to think where it's at now, it's insane. It's insane, but it always changes. I did a 30-minute speech on here about TH Marine changing and my life changing, career change. Things change. Again, I don't know which side I'm on. I'm just telling you, I've seen a lot of things in 30 years of bass fishing, and we're witnessing something right now that we won't ever forget. I know that. But I'm just saying, maybe cut these young guys a little bit of slack. They are fantastic anglers. They're great on camera. And I think the elite at Fork was fan-freaking-tastic. So, and having Drew Gill on the podcast this week, live this past week, was incredible. All right. Let's get somebody on that's going to get a little rowdy, I think. Maybe. He says he's got a lot to say. It's one of my favorite. I say this a lot, but I truly mean it. It's one of my favorite people in the sport of bass fishing. He's won over 920,000. He's a self-made man, for sure. Him and his brother have worked their asses off to get where they're at. He's coming off of back-to-back top 10s in the Bass Pro Tour. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesse Wiggins. All right, as promised, here he is. I'm going to call him Mr. Smith Lake. He don't like that title probably because there have been several Mr. Smith Lakes in my life. But this one right here, him and his brother, man, they are a force to be reckoned with and a force to be reckoned with all over the country. Jesse Wiggins, thanks for joining me, buddy.
Hey, happy to be here. Thanks for having me on. It's an honor. I've been on here. I guess this is probably my third time, my third or fourth time. So I'm getting on up there. I mean, I'm not Atkins or anything yet, but I'm getting, dude, I'm rivaling him. So
what I need, yeah. I need Jesse Wiggins in studio, and you live close enough. Let's we got to happen because we'd have a good time. Atkins gets the luxury because he's like 40 minutes away. And when I need a guest and he's bored, it just works out.
Yep. No, it's good. I'll definitely come by one day for sure. Might have to do it in April or something because, like April 15th or later.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I may know where a turkey bird or two is at.
Yeah,
Out. We are almost there. Well, dude, let's talk about back to back top tens. But I want to, beyond that, I want to look at real quick 2021 13th AOI standings, 2022 6, 2023 6, and right now sitting in second behind some guy named Jacob Wheeler.
Some guy
literally, he only catches him because of forward facing sonar. Look, you take it away. He ain't going to catch him. Clip that. Somebody clip that and spread that around the internet. Send it to him. He knows better. He knows that I know better too.
Yeah.
I'm not one of those internet dwellers. But dude, I mean, what is going on with we talked right before we went hit record in 19 and in 20, you were below 50th in the points. Now it's just pedal on the floor.
Yeah, and it's kind of like I've said, like, man, you don't know what the decisions are working out. I don't feel like I know more about fishing or anything like that. It's just like you make a decision and it works out. And I guess it's the confidence and, you know, I guess it's definitely an experience kind of knowing what not to do, because I did a lot of that what not to do back then. And I mean, I still do it now, but like you learn when you start sucking like I did, and like, especially 2020, like, I wasn't even making good decisions. Like, I didn't even have a chance. And my whole mindset was like, oh, I just got to scrape by, just somehow get a check. And it's like, man, I don't win every time, but I go out there looking like, how can I win this tournament? Like, I don't think about getting a check or top 10 or whatever. I was like, okay, this pattern here, like at Toledo, you know, you couldn't, I mean, it wasn't just amazing fishing out deep, like catching them on forward facing. Like, you didn't just catch 100 every day in practice. But I knew that's how the tournament was going to be won, so I just stuck with it. And then the second day of the tournament, or the second evening, day two that evening, I kind of stumbled into an area that I caught one in practice, but I knew that was the deal. And it was like I just come into an area and ended up making the top 10 there because I found that area being hard-headed, knowing that's how the tournament was going to be won, you know, not just getting a check or whatever. I mean, it's easy at Toledo to know that, but – like, it's just having that confidence that you're going to run into that area. And the same thing, you know, I'm just talking about recent events. The same thing happened at Santee Cooper. I got in an area, and it was tough, man. It was tough to get bit up there. It was. I mean, the water was – it was muddy and high. Like, it was just nasty conditions. But you just got in it. I got in an area and just ground it out every day. I just went in circles in one area. But, you know, looking back 5 years ago, I probably would have ran out of there after the first period or second period or something. And now I just – I feel like I'm going to figure out how to catch enough to make it, you know, do good. And it's just worked out. There's nothing I can say. Like, it's been a key. I mean, definitely Haley behind me. Matt's my roommate. Haley, she's like, y'all don't come back here without some fish. Y'all ain't coming back here being in last. Like, she ain't a bit scared. Like, she's channeling her inner. She thinks she's Sherry Van Dam's what she thinks. Like, because one time Sherry told her that she don't let Kevin, you know, she don't cut Kevin no slack. So ever since then, Haley has been, she don't cut me no slack.
She's on you, huh?
So it's funny, but I'd definitely get in trouble if I didn't come home with at least the top 20, I guess I would say. But yeah, it's good. But it's just been good, man. I can't really, I mean, other than just making good decisions and confident, you know. But man, I'll ride this train as long as it's going, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, you've always, it's unfair to say, well, you're figuring it out now, Jesse. I mean, Lord knows you've had big wins. You've been in the Classic. We're in contention for the elite win there. Some other guy, what's his name? Jacob Wheeler. I think he ended up winning that. Hey, damn him. Let's get him out of here. We need him out of this sport so everybody else can have fun. But you've been around it, man. And then of course, regionally, locally, everybody around here, we're like, you don't want to go against Jesse or Jordan on most lakes. But do you think – now, I know you've always embraced sonar, I think technology, side imaging. I mean, you and I have had those conversations. But are we still shaky-heading? Are we still – now, you like to throw that plug around. Are you still cranking? Or what has changed? I mean, are you adopting new techniques? Because, I mean, obviously at Cherokee and the Elite, you like that little minnow too way back. Yep. That ain't nothing to you.
Yeah, I was one of the original mentors on TV for sure. That's 2D. Right. You know, a lot of people forget that was 2D back then. Right. There's no telling what could have happened if what. And the thing about it is, the Garmin guys had forward face, had panoptics at that time, but they didn't really understand the power of it, I don't think. There was a few guys here local that was using, like Brent Crow, and then was using it already on Smith, but. Yeah, they didn't know that it was that effective. But, yeah, that was 2D dropping the mentor on them old school. Now you couldn't get about it a million years with one under the boat. It's crazy, like, how it's changed. But you have to get them. Like, now we're all worried about 80 foot in front of us. And back then,
I'm going to see them at 120, dude. We can't.
Yeah, exactly.
That is a good point, because I see people posting. There's a guy fishing with Bam on Instagram. If you and I think he does the TikTok thing. He makes fantastic videos, and he's all about this forward facing sonar drama. Like I'm making jokes about it. Whatever. He makes a lot of meme videos, but he posts a video of Edwin Evers from 2006 in an Elite Series on Table Rock, and you can see his little drop shot going down
the swivel stuff.
Yeah, and he's going, what's the difference here? And the only difference, I'll say, from the coverage standpoint, is they weren't live back then, so you didn't have to watch 5 hours of them, I guess.
Exactly.
It wasn't that. And like you said, they won't get near your damn boat now.
No. Every now and then you catch one under the boat and you're like, oh my God, I just got the dumbest fish in the lake. But yeah, it's but yeah, I mean, I've definitely embraced it, especially smallmouth, man. Oh, it's so fun. I love it. That's what I've told people on live, like, man, get in forward facing, get up here and just come fishing. Like, it is so fun. Now down here, it's really, you got to know when to turn it off. That's the main thing. Like this past weekend on Smith, you know, I did it for a little while and I was like, this is not going to win this tournament this week. And, you know, I just went shallow, just fishing a chatterbait. I actually caught the biggest one on a buzzbait yesterday. It was crazy. The earliest one I've ever caught on a buzzbait. But, yeah, I was like, dang, I still got a little bit of intuition. That forward facing ain't took all of it, I promise y'all. But
here we go. Let's go.
Yeah, that's exactly.
As I listen to you, you know, you're like, man, my years of experience are starting to pay off, you think, and your decision. I'm like, well, hang on a second. All that's out the window now. That's all I'm seeing certain pros saying, that we throw it out the window, right? Like, you don't need anything with a screen. That's what the commenters say. And now, if it is the go-to excuse, and I see you in the comments, and I applaud you for kind of standing up, because so many pros don't. You've always been one of those guys that you're not afraid to say what you think. And, but my thing is, like, it's the go-to excuse, and at least in the first two elites, well, I just went regular fishing. I went fishing. Well, that's a bad stance to me, right? Because the same guys making those posts are the same guys that I talked to 3 years ago, like, man, this LiveScope's something. I'm going to break a sponsor contract to get, so I can get LiveScope on my boat. I'm not going to take any more of them ass whippings, you know? And now they're like, well, I went regular fishing. And they all got it. Why aren't they using it?
That, dude, I agree. And I see some of them saying, like, man, I know it was going to be one like that, but I didn't want to do it. And that's like saying you knew it was going to be one on the crankbait, but you wanted to throw a jig all day. Like, that's the same principle if you look at it like that. So you can't just be hard-headed because you just want to take a stance. They're going to take all your money. And, like,
yes,
it's just, I mean, they are. And it's like you got to – I mean, you still have to have those, like, people say, oh, they don't have no instinct. We just seen it this morning. You know, we're filming this on Sunday morning. Yep. We just seen McKinney leading the tournament with 100 pounds in 3 days, or 97, whatever. He caught most of them forward facing. This morning, his first 7-pounder come on a dock, skipping a jig under.
Yep.
You tell me that don't take some intuition, you've lost your mind. And he's only 19 year old, and he already knows, hey, let's slide up in here under this dock. Hey, we've been catching them out of this pocket. It's warm last night. Let's slide up under here in this dock. First cast, 7-pounder. So you're going to tell me he don't have intuition? And he's 19. Now, them other boys are mid-20s. They've started fishing way before LiveScope. You can't tell me they weren't fishing in high school and stuff. And they didn't have LiveScope then, but they know how to adapt. And this is my saying, and I made a video on this, but I hadn't posted it. But, you know, This is my spiel, I guess you can say. I'll just lay it out since we're talking about LiveScope. So I watch more fishing than anybody. Like you said, you see me in comments. Like, I watch more live. I watch y'all show. I watch Bass. I watch MLF. I watch the Invitation. I watch it all because I just love, I mean, I'm a fan of bass fishing. Yeah, I watch people's YouTubes. Like, I mean, I just love watching fishing. It's my, like, what I like to watch. And when I watch it to learn something. So the guys that are tuning in to Bass Live or MLF Live, whatever, you either have a family member that's fishing and you want to watch them, so you're going to watch no matter what, or you want to watch it to learn how to catch fish. In my opinion, that's what I would think why people wouldn't want to watch.
Or be entertained by big fish, I would think.
Yes, and right? That's what I'm saying. So if you want to watch it, yeah, and you want to watch it how they're catching them on that lake. So you say you got guys using forward-facing sonar catching 8-pounders, literally 8-pounders, and you're going to complain that they're showing you how to catch the biggest bass on that lake and the most fish? Like, that don't comprehend in my mind how you don't want to see that. Like, I get it. Everybody wants to watch a topwater explosion, but it's February. It's January. Like, what is it, Toledo? It's January. You know, of course, I caught one on a buzzbait besides Ott. But why would you not want to watch the most and the biggest get caught on the lake you're watching to learn at? Like, that don't register in my mind how it's not fun. Now, like I said, yeah, everybody wants to watch a topwater explosion, but if that's what you're tuning in for, just go watch YouTube videos. Like, you're not wanting to learn about the lake you're watching on. So that's kind of my whole process. Like, I just don't understand how people don't like watching giants and a bunch of giants get caught. And, you know, the next thing they're going to say is the two things you hear about forward facing, of course, is it's boring to watch and the conservation. So you're telling me the fish that are in 5 foot of water, their lives don't matter. Let's just rip their face off. They don't matter. But the ones in 20 foot of water, now those are precious. Let's keep those. We can't catch them. Okay. I mean, I'm like, you're still catching bass. Like, every bass is a bass. Who cares if it's 5 foot deep or if it's 50 foot deep? You don't get to.
Yeah, listen.
I mean, you don't get to say, okay, these fish, we can catch them.
We go, well, we're fishing for them where they've never been fished for, and that's not okay. And I'm going, but when they get up there on that point, you have no problem catching a damn 100 of them.
Exactly. Or let's say in the fall.
Let's catch all of them.
Let's say in the fall, you're going down the bank, and those same fish come up busting out there in the middle. Your ass is going out there and throwing at them. Don't tell me you're not. It's the same ones that are 40 foot deep in the winter. They just come up in the fall and bust. So you're telling me you can fish for them when they're busting? Which, I mean, can't tell me. And conservation-wise, we're throwing them back. So you can't tell me catch releases works if you're saying that we're catching them. So what are we even doing with catch and release if it don't work? So in crappie fishing, of course, if they're knocking the sides off every one of them, it may make a difference in the long run. So yeah. I can see where it can matter. But we're throwing them back, and everybody thinks catch and release works, so we're throwing them back in the water. I mean, so I just don't understand it. Like, until they can have some proof data, like, that it's hurting places, but I don't know if y'all are watching these last couple tournaments. These places ain't hurting for bass. That's for sure.
They're not hurting for bass. They're not hurting for big ones. They're not hurting for big stringers. I think we're seeing – look, I think that you've got a lot of factors. I did a spiel before I had you on here about youth in the sport and why I think people are so upset. And listen, I think it is because this is the main one, and I'm going to get crucified for this, I'm sure. But here's the thing. Yes. I think because we have been wrong. We have been wrong about what bass do for our entire lives. And I think people cannot handle, myself included, hearing that I'm wrong. I was on Pickwick 2 weeks ago for an Alabama bass trail. The current's going 115,000 cubic feet per second. Everything I thought those bass should be doing, they were not doing. They weren't. And there's new faces in the top 10. And we can't handle that, right? Like, we can't. We like tuning into the Bassmasters to see Gerald Swindle, and I'm not picking on G, but to see these superstars of the sport, it's the same with BPT. You tune in to say, man, I'm a fan favorite. I want to see such and such and so and so. And to be honest, this year there hasn't been a lot of that, other than Jacob, who's a household name with BPT, obviously. But dude, it's been a lot of new names in the mix. You're seeing the Drew Gills. You're seeing the Bassmaster. You're seeing Milliken, who's not a household. He's a household name to many fans. But you're seeing Milliken. You're seeing the Tyler Williams today. But Kyle Patrick's, dude, I'm here for it. We're learning about these guys. They deserve It's the same thing I said about MPFL when it started. Well, it's a bunch of no names. I don't know them. Well, you watch it for two events and you realize, well, damn, there's some pretty good fish catchers with personalities. Like, tune in and watch, you know? Yes. Like, I think it's unfair to just disregard somebody because you don't know their name necessarily.
100%. Just you're taking away from the work they've put into it too. Like, I know what it took. Like, I come from nothing to get the fish. Like, I know what I've put into it and how much I've sacrificed. And those guys, they, like I said, they're not just going out there just hoping they catch one. They know what's like. I mean, you had Drew Gill on, to hear him talk, like he knows what's up. You think he just learned that by playing Xbox as a kid? Wrong.
Well, it's like, a video game. It's some video exactly. game. My grandma used to call them video games. She'd say, "Get them video games out of this damn house."
Yes. Like, you got to give these guys respect. And I've been to Lake Fork. I'm sure you've been there. Like, it's not, I mean, I bet you those guys, they're happy that they're whacking them, but they're sweating bullets knowing that they don't ever catch nothing like that.
And they gotta
like,
go.
Their clients are going to be like, this guy caught 38 pounds and he's only been here a week. Where are you at? Like, they're like, well, they're happy to see him, but they're like, oh, shit, we got to step up our game. Because it's not easy to catch what they're catching. Like, they're making that look like they're stud, son. Like, because I've been there. I know it's not that easy. And so it's impressive. Like, even if they are on a, you know, an awesome lake, it is awesome because they, you know, they don't weigh them in. They leave them there in the water. But – or they don't – it's catch and release into the slot.
Right, right.
They can't even put them in the live well. So it's kind of like Del Hollow with a smallmouth. You know, you can't put them in the live well, dude. That smallmouth, that's why they're so good, honestly. But it is – I mean, they just don't get targeted. But yeah, it's not that easy to catch them like they're catching them out there. Like, no. And it's impressive to see. Like, people think they're going to go catch 40 pounds on fork. It's you can might get one bite, and that kind of goes back. I forgot to say that about forward facing sonar. So at Toledo, they wanted us all like, of course, they're a white tooth fishing shallow, the fishing dot, blah blah blah. There's I ain't gonna say his name, but he's one of the best shallow fishermen in the world, and he. I was in the middle of the creek, and I seen him run to the back. And, you know, we can get updates, and I kept asking, how many has he caught? How many has he caught? And he ended up making the cut, but he didn't make the knockout round, the top 20, but I think he got a check. But he got, like, six, seven bites a day. And, obviously, I'm sure he was fishing boat docks in the bank. And that's what I said in my video. I said, this guy, he's the best in the world at fishing shallow, and he got six bites a day. I think I'm going to go up there and get six bites a day.
Yeah.
Hell no. You think – and the normal viewer, you think you're going to go get sick? No, you're getting two bites. So you can use this forward facing. You come out here, you maybe catch a 10, 12, 15, whatever it may be. Like, you got to know, like, we're showing you how the easiest way, the best way to catch them on the lake is. And you're going to complain about learning how the easiest way. And then a lot of people want to talk about money, of course, and it costs money. If you fish a tournament, a $2,000 transducer in a box is not nothing compared to what you're gonna, you know, spend on all your other tournament stuff. So, and it, like everybody says, they jump in the boat once you point it at them. So you're gonna pay for it in your first tournament. You're probably gonna win it. So
I saw a guy yesterday. Yeah. He said, "I've got an 8-year-old kid I could put out there in the Bassmasters, and I promise you, he give him that, and he could beat Trey McKinney and the rest of them."
Gets me. That comment gets me going the most when I see, oh, my 3-year-old niece can catch them. I'm like, they're catching them. Well, come on out here and get you some, buddy. That's what I want to say to them. Like, just come on out here and get you a dose. I mean, it's crazy. Like, people don't understand what it takes.
Well, even the shallow water guy you're talking about, he's got it on his boat.
Yes.
Whoever you're talking about, he's got it. I'll probably have the 80 you fish with, they all got it. The elites all got it. MPFL, they all got it. Every Toyota series, they all got it. Every BFL, 99% of them got it. Trust me. If you're in tournaments at all, at any serious level right now, you got it. So you have no excuse, in my opinion.
Yep. And like I said, that's what I said. One of my sayings, if going down the bank, catching them was that good, we'd all be still doing it. But it's not good in January. I mean, it's not like you could go down. I seen Canale put it in one of his videos. He's like, now I could fish out here. I might be getting me 4 or 5 bites. Or I could go down that bank right there and not get a bite. But y'all gonna be saying I suck when I go down that bank and don't get a bite, but I catch me four out here. But y'all still mad because I'm out here catching. So it's like, I mean, you can't win. Like it's, but it comments on social media, man. It's so entertaining. Like I burn up so much of my time laughing, and like obviously I leave serious stuff comments, but it's like I ain't scared to call somebody out when they're being a complete idiot on social media. It's like, and I honestly think, and it's come down to like you said, like they just have a lack of knowledge of really knowing what's going down. Like they don't really understand it. And I just want to challenge them to come out and just come get them some a little bit, jump in the opens or jump in something and just see if anybody can catch them. Or jump in your local BFL and see how easy it is just to go out there and catch them on live scope. So, but yeah, it's funny though. But I hate to get off on a tangent. But
no, it's
something I had to get off my mind.
Well, it's the world we're living in right now. And I said also in the opening of the show that I think it's unfair to say, because I see this a lot too. Well, you take that away, and you take that away, if they didn't have forward facing, they wouldn't be this good, or you know, those comments. It doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
Because it's where we're at. It's allowed in the tournament. It's allowed in the tournament. So I joked on live with Drew Gill and Todd Castledine earlier last week that it's like the LeBron versus Michael Jordan debate and all that. Well, we don't know because they never played against each other. I had a guy tag me in a comment yesterday and tell me that Ben Milliken, because I said on the show that YouTubers would never be pros, and I've ate crow on that a million times over. Milliken's kicking ass and taking names, and good for him. Congratulations. But a guy said he's out fishing Luke Duncan. I was like, well, here's the deal. Yes, he is, because he's on the Elite Series, but I've never fished a day against him in my damn life, and I'll be honest with you, I don't want to. Because I know where this boy stands. Yeah. He's good. He's damn good.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, he was – I've looked at some of his stuff. He was fishing tournaments and stuff way before.
Oh, what?
Yeah. He was. Yeah. Yeah. So he understands fish. Like, he's not out there just making video, you know.
No.
He knows how to catch bass. So, yeah. But, the dude's a freaking stud, obviously. Two top tens already this year. Like, that ain't – like I said, it's not easy to just go out
there
and catch.
That's not easy.
No. But, yeah. And then that's another thing. Like you saying, like – and then another thing I think about is, like, growing up, or when I first started fishing the opens and first started qualifying the elites, all the older guys, I'm gonna say this, and I'm not talking about anybody specific either, but like every only thing we ever heard, we want a level playing field, level playing field. I know you've heard it, level playing field, level playing field. The field has never been more level than it is right now, and the same guys are still crying because it's not level in their favor. That is the God's honest truth. You got 22-year-olds that can go out there and compete because they know how to study this stuff, and they got all this info at their fingertips, and it's a level for anybody, and you can put in just as much work as they can, and you can go out there and learn this and figure it out, but people still griping because it ain't leveling in their favor. So you're telling me you got the most, like, you, and then you see all these negative comments and you're like, well, it's level. This is the level it's ever going to be. And you're still griping about it. Like, get out there and get you some of it. Like, I mean, don't just sit, like you say, don't sit in mom's basement and cry about it the whole time. Get out there and get some of it, man. It's level as it's ever been. And, you know, and the older guys, of course, back before all this forward facing, man, they had 30 years of literally 30 years of hot spots. Like, man, they're going to get on there. I'll catch me three or four off this rough spot every tournament or this point or whatever. Well, now that don't matter. It's all level now. And it's like, but they don't like it now because it's level. They wanted it level when they couldn't get info getting those hot spots. That's what they wanted.
Well, to be fair, and this will probably piss some people off at the pro level, and I apologize to all my buddies, but before there were no information rules, there were a lot of people that got a lot of information from all their buddies all over the country, and that's why they had an advantage over the rookies when they rolled up to a lake fork. They knew where that roadbed was, and now that shit don't matter.
Exactly.
A, you have no information, and B, they can collect data a lot faster than you with forward-facing sonar and map it and tide and everything else. And so that's the God's honest truth, and you know that.
It is. That's exactly what I was getting at. So it's not leveling. Like I said, it's not level for them anymore. It's level for everybody. So it's like, now they're griping because now they don't want, I'm like, no, you don't get it both ways. There's that's the only, and I've never won a tournament with it. Now I've did good with it. I've had top 10, but I've never won a tournament with Ford, a big tournament. So I feel like I can speak on it. Like I won the Opens and my Bass Pro Tour, you know, on Shaky Head, all that. Mm-hmm. And so it's probably costing me some wins, not getting, having to use it, but I'm not going to sit here and want it banned just because somebody else is good at it. Like that's why I feel like I can speak on it because I'm not out here winning every tournament with it or anything like that. So,
and you didn't grow up with it, Jesse. Like no, I consider you're still a young gun, but you're a veteran. You've been around this. Yeah. When did you start fishing the elites? What year was it?
2017 was my rookie year.
Yeah. I mean, you've been around this. This is your seventh season as a pro.
Yep.
Actual tour and pro. I mean, you're a veteran in the sport, like a Justin Atkins, Justin Lucas. Yep. You guys are young, but you're veterans, Matt Lee and Jordan Lee. You guys have fished every way you've seen. You probably learned on a paper map like I did.
No, we didn't even have a map. Like,
really?
So we grew up and we had a bumblebee. I've told the story. My grandpa had a bumblebee that I guess we was in high school. Well, we started off fishing. Dude, me and my brother would fish with anybody that would take us. My uncles, like my dad would take us. I mean, anybody that had them. And then my grandpa had a boat when we got old enough to drive. It was a bumblebee. It didn't have a depth finder on it. And we won so much money out of that thing. We nicknamed it, every time we catch one, it was a Bumblebee Big. Like every big one we caught was the Bumblebee Big. The BBB. And it, man, we weighed some freaking bags going down the bank on that and out of that boat. So, yeah, I didn't even have a depth finder until 2012 was my first depth finder. GPS, and I didn't have no idea how to read a paper map. But it was weird. Like when I turned it on, like I understand, like, you know, I knew exactly what I was looking at. Like I never really remember studying or nothing like that, but it was like the contours just like, it just showed me like,
made sense. Here.
Yeah. Like everything just made sense. I don't, it's kind of hard to explain it, but, and then I got to fish with Randy Haynes on Pickwick in 13, I think, or 14. And dude, it put me, you know, 5 years of experience in 2 days, I learned, you know, fishing with him. So, like, that put me so far ahead, you know, as far as fishing offshore and stuff. But, and like I said, I was only boat with him for 1 day. And it, I mean, it showed me, you know, showed me how to read side imaging and all that. But yeah, like, I just grew up fishing the bank. And that's why we're, you know, we do good on Smith because we know where every stump, every rock, every turn, every drop, like, we know wherever it is because we fished it from the bank for so year, you know, just going down the bank. But yeah, I mean, I grew up the hard way, just like everybody else. So yeah, and that's. But I can still say, like, man, forward facing is, dude, it is so fun to. Like, people don't realize it's like watching a topwater bite, you know, underneath the water when you get to watch it on the screen. And it is, and I don't understand that. My mind just don't comprehend the hate behind it. I don't know. I just don't get it. I mean, a lot of it's jealousy. Like I really believe it is.
For sure.
And I've never been a jealous, like, thank the Lord. I've never been a jealous. Like, when I see somebody doing good, I'm like, man, that's awesome. Like, I want to go catch some. Yeah, I want to do that. That's awesome. And, like, now people see it and like, oh, my God, I can't believe he's using that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, y'all, I mean, it ain't that deep. Like, it's just catching bass. Like, you're taking it. You're getting way too, taking it too far. But I still, just like everybody else, I love going down the bank with a square bill. But if I'm going to get my head beat in January, knowing they're not up there yet, I'm not going to stay up there and do that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, there's no sense.
But anyways, yeah. So,
well, I think, you know, the difference in, I think there's a lot going on right now. I think it's cool to complain on social media. It's all social media, as we know. Negativity tends to, it breeds more negativity. I've seen it time and time and time again. Look, I've complained about plenty on this podcast, and it makes stuff spike through the moon. People like to complain. They do. You know, I definitely, when you stir the pot, people like to jump on that on either side of it, right? So I think that's a lot of it. I think jealousy. I do think that people, to play devil's advocate, I think that that financially for some, it does seem daunting, like the boats and the, you know, the trolling motors on power poles and all. Like, we are getting to a point that it's, that barrier to get in is difficult for a lot of folks to even think about, probably, right? Yeah. Like I do, but I also say this, if you're just a bass fisherman, and I feel like most people that are commenting aren't tournament anglers for the most part.
Yeah.
I think they're fans of the sport. And I think they don't, they might fish a tournament here and there, but I'm talking about serious tournament anglers like you and I know. And there is a difference, and I'm not taking shots at somebody just fishes a couple a year, but
people
we know, they take every weekend. That's all they do. They're fishing 50 a year, you know, like that's or more with weeknight tournaments and stuff. It's all they do. And I think they do approach it differently, but I think you've got, they feel like it's a long shot for them. Maybe they fish off the bank. Maybe, you know, so to play devil's advocate, I think some of it comes from that. I do think some of it comes from the fact that we're wrong for sure. And I think some of it is that, and I've been guilty of this, Jesse Wiggins, in life, not in fishing as much, but like in music. When you see things changing and it's not how it was when you grew up. So like, the music that I've always liked, and this makes me sound like an old man, is, but like country music has changed. Like it's changed. It ain't country anymore, right? It ain't George Jones. It ain't, you know, is it better or worse? I don't know. It's just different, right? Like for the most part, it's just different. And I think everything changes. And there's always going to be a certain amount of folks that are going to defend it and try to gatekeep it a little bit, keep it where it's at.
Yeah. As far as the bank fishermen, that is something I don't – I like I said, I'm a diehard tournament fisherman. I fish, like I said, Tuesday night or so. I haven't really looked at it as far as for the guys that don't fish tournaments. But you just got to realize we're in January and February right now. So it's like, you know, it's really popular right now. You know, when you watch it, of course you're going to see people out live scope. And you're going to see it year-round. But just wait till we get to May and June. Like, you're going to start seeing stuff. Like, don't just – put all your horses in the live scope basket just yet. Like I said, I mean, we're not even in, we're just now got into March. So, and we've just had a bunch of these tournaments, you know, that just fail when they were still in their wintertime pattern. So it's definitely a hot topic right now. But as far as expenses go, you can't blame it on just forward facing. You got to blame it, you know, like you said, on the whole industry, boats. Yeah. You don't get just to say, well, it's just the transducer. So,
outboard engines cost right now today, and this is everything in life, whether it's groceries, I say this all the time, truck, whatever. I mean, go price a Chevy 1500 in 1991 versus 2024. You're going to be like, oh, damn, it's a big difference, right? Like everything's more expensive. But I mean, outboard engines alone cost more than bass boats did in the early 90s at that time. So, and our electronics damn sure do that. And look, dude, I get it. Like, I got a house full of youngins. I got a job. You know what I mean? Like I get it.
Yep.
Fishing's expensive, but it always has been for the most part. Like whether it's, if you want to take it to that next level to compete. Now I say that you've won plenty of money on a jig head and a damn worm.
Yeah. It's certain times of year. I mean, I'm not going to win it in January on Toledo Bend on the bank, but if we would have went there in April, I would have been able to hang with them on the bank with a shake head. I know I've done it. I got checked out the elite tournament, you know, in 17. But it's kind of one of the deals where, like, if you're going to fish a lot, if you have a boat, like, you know, the forward facing, you could get a good forward facing for $2,000 without, like, the ActiveTarget One or the Panoptix, whatever. And you don't even have to have – that's the thing about it now. You don't have to have – $100,000 boat. You go out there in your 80 model boat, put a good battery on it with your ActiveTarget, man, you're going to get to catch more fish than you ever thought about possible just going down the bank with, you know, not, you know, you may, I see it all the time talking to locals. I go to these lakes that are good lakes and they're like, man, we caught three today. I'm like, man, you're going to spend all weekend going fishing and all day and you're going to go out here and catch three. But if you was to be able to save up a little bit of money, it's just like hunting, fishing. You know, you buy – I remember I worked all summer, bought my first bow when I was – my bow and arrow when I was 15. I saved enough money to buy a bow. If you want to do something, you can save enough money to buy that. And you're going to – you know, it opens up a whole new world to people. Like, I think that's kind of how we could be able to promote it to where it's awesome, like not bad. Like, it's not bad. It's catching fish until they can prove that it's – hurting things, like, and then they can't. It's all people's feelings right now. That's all it is people's feelings about it. But if you could, you know, we could promote it to where, hey, you spend, like I said, if you spend, you know, $1,000 to $2,000 on one of those units and the transducer, and even if it took you a year or so to save up, man, it's there for, you know, it's going to work for next 10 years, you know, it ain't not going to never work. So it's just so much more fun going out catching them. That's how I look at it. Like, I go fishing. Like, when my daddy started us fishing, we fished for whatever was biting the best. And that's kind of how I look at forward facing. Like, if the bass wasn't biting, we was crappie fishing. Like, he knew what to fish for. So if it was the middle of summer, we were baiting up a hole for carp, throwing dough balls off the bank. Like, if nothing was going down, we were just – he wanted us catching, you know, getting bit. And that's how us – so if you go to these lakes now and if you was to go out and you I took my son out. We only caught three. Now he don't want to go anymore. Man, you get this and you're watching those fish eat that bait underwater and all this stuff, dude. It's like you said, he's gonna be hooked forever. Like, when you start seeing that, these young kids see that, man. So that's kind of how I look at it. Like, it could be such a positive, getting more bites, catching more, actually looking at something. And it's just the world we live in now. It's fast paced. You got, I mean, more and more and more. I mean, look at TikTok, just swap, 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 swap. It's crazy how it's, and it's, I mean, it's nothing we, I don't know that we can really do anything, but we can do it in a positive way, whether it be fishing or, you know, whatever it may be. It's just, you know, everything's more active now. It's just the way it is. Like, we can't stop that. It's so
constant. Everything's constant.
It's constant. And it ain't the kid's fault. I mean, we're doing it too. Like, I have a 4-year-old and it's not going to be his fault that he grew up, you know, watching an iPad or stuff like that. You know, it's my fault. So like, you gotta, you know, put that positive spin about it instead of just all this negative. And it's like we was talking about earlier, you know, there's more kids fishing now than there ever been. So you want to take something away that maybe the reason they're out there is because they know how to read this and do this. Like, man, it's a slippery slope when you start wanting to, you know, take away, you know, resources that kids are out there using. So I don't know. I'm all for it right now until they can prove something different. Like, I don't understand the hate behind it. And, man, we all just want to catch more. That's what I don't understand. Like, you know, it's like we were talking about earlier with those guys, like, just being hard headed, wanting to stick to the bank. You caught 13 pounds in 30s leading. Like, it ain't – the bank fishing ain't that good. Like, it's not
there. They're not there.
Yeah, they're not there.
They will be. Yeah. Next week at Fork, this tournament might have looked different.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, I mean, you got a technology that you could catch 30 pounds with and you don't want to use it. Like, that's kind of – it's a little bit selfish if you ask me.
Buddy.
So, I mean, it's hard-headed, whatever you want to call it. So
I want a 9-pounder rodeo like Atkins did this morning on his birthday on a fishing pole. Give me that. That's another one. You are a spinning rod guy. Why do people get pissed off about spinning rod? I have loved a spinning rod my entire life. Why do we hate that?
I don't understand it either. I've seen comments like oversized crappie setups. I'm like, do you know how popular crappie fishing is? Like, there's way more crappie fishing in this world. How is that a bad thing? Like, so it's like, you get to reel in a 9-pound crappie. Like, could you imagine the crappie fisherman reeling in a 9-pound crappie? Like, I mean, that is amazing. Like, it's just negative. It's like you said, negativity breeds negativity. Like, it's just all there is to it. But man, I don't know. It's awesome. I watched him catch it. It was like 9-3 or whatever for it to start the day off.
When he put that joker over the side, I was like, "Well, that's a lot bigger than them 2 8-pounders yesterday."
Exactly, in the same spot too. That's crazy how he's catching all those giants that close together. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's what I was talking about. His video there, you can see two guys going down the bank, and you know they got a bite all morning. He's done caught a 9. Yeah,
they start whining faster when they see that.
Yeah, and I'm like, that tells you how awesome, you know, forward facing is right there. Those guys like biting. He's already caught
I think some of the pros that are upset too. And listen, when I was fishing FLW Tour, I've said this over and over and over, but I was thinking this yesterday. Like, I really thought about this when I was fishing. So I watched live for about 2 hours, and I got my youngest. I said, "Come on, boy, we going to the lake." Like, I can't stand it. Like, I'm going fishing
the same way.
Yeah. I went to a small lake close to me, and I've been obsessed with it since the first time I ever really turned it on, but I didn't even know. Like, I'm learning from watching these guys, even though I've had it since damn 2018. Like, I know what they look like on it. I know what my bait looks like. I know what my settings need to be. But, dude, I ain't caught a 9-pounder on the damn thing. I ain't ever caught a 9-pounder. I'm not caught some beggins, but I ain't ever caught a 9-pounder. So me and my boy went out yesterday, and we're messing with it. But I think I really was thinking about this when I was fishing, though, because I'm mad at myself. Dude, I had it in 2018. Me and Castledine actually talked about this on the live, I think, too, last week. I had it in 2018. I was one of five people that had it. We did the Garmin launch at ICAST. I had it. They gave it to me because I was going to be doing the launch, taking the media out, right? I had no idea what I had on the front of the boat. I saw a picture of me on my phone. It popped up in memories from Sam Rayburn in 2019, a tournament, an FLW Tour tournament. Water was high. Terry Bolton won it. A bunch of us had it. I'm looking at my screen on it. I can see them. Dude, I was probably dragging a shaky head. Like, I swear, like in this picture, I'm looking down at the screen, and I know, and I had for that entire season, I had that at my feet. The last year I fished as a pro, I had it at my feet at every event, dude. And I know for sure I never weighed in one off of it. Mm. So all these other guys that I have seen and a lot that I've seen complaining were sponsored by Garmin as well. They all have had this since 2018, 2019, have had access to this. You have no excuse. I have no excuse that if I still wanted to be doing that, I ain't winning everything. I had it before anybody had it. Yep. It's my own damn fault, because I like to go skip a jig and I like to go throw a buzz bait and I like to go do all that dumb shit instead of I should have been staring at that stupid screen. Period. Yeah. End story. It's my own fault. It's my own fault.
We all want to go throw a buzz bait. I mean, trust me, we do. I mean, who don't? That shit don't work very often, especially when 200 boats has been out there for a week. Dude. I mean, it don't work. Like, it just don't work anymore. Like, and them old guys, they grew up. I mean, I'll give them credit. They grew up when you could get 15 bites on a buzz bait a day.
Yes.
And but it ain't like that no more. And imagine if everybody was up there throwing it. Like, you definitely couldn't get it.
Listen,
And that's another thing I want to say this too, and I'll kind of slow down on my spiel. But I've seen some of those. I've seen the guy on YouTube. He hates it, of course. I ain't even gonna say his name, but he hates.
It's like Beetlejuice. If you say it three times, he'll make a video about us right now.
Yeah. So he just every time he says something. I mean, I honestly think the right opposite a lot of times, because he says it's not fishing anymore, and it's the tradition and all this. Who is he to get to tell me or tell us what fishing is? He don't get to say what my version of fishing is. Like, what if your version of fishing is going and, you know, sinking a minnow with a bobber every day? Is that not fishing? That's live bait. I mean, and I think that's another thing with the conservation. Like, people forget live bait's legal to use. Like, we could go use
every day, 365 days a year.
And at Smith, we could kill 10 of them. We could skin 10 of them every day. And then all these lakes where it's five fish limit, we could kill all five of them legally. So, like, I don't understand it's not hurting anything conservation-wise. But anyways, he gets on his spiel where, oh, it's messing with the tradition of fishing. I'm like, you don't get to tell me what my tradition of fishing is or the next guy. If we're doing it legally, there is nothing you get to tell. You don't get to put your feelings onto me about it. And that's what a lot of it is feelings. It's not facts. I mean, the fact, like everybody says, facts does not care about your feelings.
That's right.
That's just the mindset of, like, everybody's got to do it like I do it. And that ain't how it is. They can do it however they want to do it. And like I said, if we want to go out and – I've took live bait to Smith Lake. I don't know if I have a lot of experience with live bait growing up. Like I said, daddy wanted us getting bit. So he was out there, you know, you catch every single bass you throw that minnow in front of. He bites it when he's on that hook, or he might not catch him, but he bites that minnow. Mm-hmm. And like, because when it's hooked, they look injured and they have to bite it. So you get, could you imagine, like, we don't work. I mean, live bait's legal. So you can't tell me that's a conservation issue. When everybody could be out there with live bait, catch them, and they set limits. They set these krill limits knowing live bait is legal to use.
I'll say this. You grew up not far from me, and you have experienced our mighty fine Tennessee River many times. And I'll say this. I ain't never seen no damn videos being made about them big smallmouth being caught on live bait and throwing in them coolers, gasping for air every damn day of the spring of my whole life. And our fisheries are still amazing. I've not ever seen that. Nature finds a way, but I've never seen a video going, we've got to stop all the killing of the smallmouth on pickles. I haven't seen that video. I've never seen it from anybody. So yep. I think it, but I've seen them. We should not bed fish. This same fellow that made the video, he got his ass handed to him when Dean Rojas caught 45 pounds on Cholo. And he caught him about 9 a day. And he's like, I chose not to side fish. Well, you chose to not get a paycheck because you a dumbass. Your living is to promote sponsors and to do good in tournaments. Well, I'm sorry. And now his living's to make YouTube videos, and that's fine. He's done. Listen, all credit where credit's due. He's got a follow. Yeah. Listen, he created this. I told somebody in a comment this week. He at least got the, it's like spotlighting for deer to stick, because buddy, that is what I can tell you where somebody gets their information from when I see that. And Jesse Wiggins is a hunter like we are. Here's the thing. Somebody said, well, you'd learn a lot. Somebody said this on my Drew Gill podcast clip I quoted this week. They said, young man, you'd learn a lot about a deer by spotlighting a deer. Well, no, you damn wouldn't, because most of the time I just do this. Run a headlight. Yeah. You just raise up the field and go. Yeah. I can't. What would I learn? I already know that bastard's out there at night when I can't.
Exactly. Hunt. I got him on camera every night. I already know he's there.
I know he's there.
Yeah. People are saying that, and I've commented this several times. People say it's just like spotlighting deer, and I say, no, it's not. Spotlighting deer is way more fun, because I've seen my cousin told me.
Also, spotlighting deer is illegal. You can't do it.
So, it is illegal.
Some states
you can spotlight. You can't shoot them, obviously, but I mean, you can still spotlight in a lot of states. It's still legal to do. Yeah, like Iowa and stuff, you can spotlight. Michigan, I think you can spotlight. Yeah, there's some states you can. So, yeah, I may be moving to Iowa to go spotlight. But, no, you still can't shoot them. But it's it's not like people that understand it. And that's the same guy that talks about it. He says he's never used it. And I'm like, how do you get to talk about it like that, but you've never used it? Like, you don't have any credibility with it.
Everything that happened this week was Gerald made a video promoting some of his clothing. Be Savage, Not Average, the Gerald Swindle shirt. Y'all go buy a shirt from G. He needs to pay some of his hunting lease dues.
Yeah.
So Wiggins don't kick him off the lease. But Randy shared Gerald's video, and Gerald would probably rather die than be associated.
I don't know.
This week I saw him. He's like, y'all go check out Gerald's post. And I was like, I stopped breathing for a second. I was laughing so hard in my kitchen when I saw it.
I don't know. It's like he's talking about the smallmouth too, though. I was thinking about this. Like, why ain't he trying to do something that matters as far as like, you know, but we know he's doing it because it gets the most clicks. He admitted to it. Like, it's, there's no shame in it. Like, I don't blame him. He gets a lot of views because of it.
He's got lots of points. Like,
yeah, but you could go and you could be fighting causes that actually mattered, like, you know, helping these places and all this. But, you know, that don't get clicks. That's too much positivity.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to see every state go to something like Texas's guy that seems to be working, like the ShareLunker program. Absolutely. And all I would love Alabama, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi. I'd love some of these states, Florida, to start doing some programs like that, because it's very obvious they got the best bass fishing in the world in the state of Texas.
Oh, it is. Well,
let's make some videos and let's get some petitions signed for some stocking programs where we live, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Like, largemouth especially. Like, you know, a lot of these lakes around here are getting overrun by spotted bass too. And, like, if you don't have blueback hair, and spotted bass are not – I don't think they're that good for a place. They're really not. Now, if you have blueback, they are, like, they'll thrive, and you can actually – you know, that's the fish to target. But, yeah, like, you got to – we got to – our largemouth is – we could use some help for sure, no doubt. But I think just even leaving the grass in play, like, you've seen Gunnersville, and you know the boat ramps at Gunnersville always full, and the fishery is still amazing because they got grass. So if you have grass, those fish can just they get to live pretty much without the bait lives, and they always have something to eat. Like, it's pretty obvious what works. So if you get on something to leave grass, and I mean, I feel like that's the number one key. The whole Tennessee River is, if you have grass, that lake's going to be good. Like, it's just, there's no other. I've never seen a lake that was full of grass and didn't have giants. I mean, have you? Like, I don't know of any that.
No, rare.
Like, even in Florida, you know, they, they get fish for year round, but those lakes have that grass, so it's always going to be, you know, pretty good fishing, honestly.
Yeah, like
you get in July, you still might catch a 10 pounder, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's grass is the key, no doubt, in my opinion, just from the experience I have with it. So yeah, if we could get something started to leave grass,
I'll start a GoFundMe to get me out of jail when I start planting grass in all the lakes.
Yeah,
it's illegal. It's illegal to plant grass. All right.
I know.
While I got you, and I we're almost to turkey season, lots of things going on, but after turkey season, Jesse Wiggins, there's going to be something down there close to your house, and you're not going to be in it, so I can get your pro's opinion on the Bassmaster Elite Series coming to Smith Lake. I'm going to try to come down there and ride around in a pontoon boat and do podcasts from the water. I invite you to be my guest during that. I think that'd be great commentary. We'll go live or something. But what's that going to look like for 4 days weight-wise?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be going to one of our tournaments. I wanted to be there. Of course, I would have been there. But weight-wise, it ain't going to be as bad as it could be because we have forward-facing that there's going to be a lot of fish caught. But, man, they're not big. Like, you know, 2.5-pounder is going to be gold. So I say if somebody could have – I'm going to say 13.5 a day will probably win. 13.5 to 14 a day, it'll probably win. The morning bite is going to be 100% critical to get a couple big ones early. I mean, within the first 5-10 minutes, like you better start on your juice. Don't think you're going to run in there and catch one at 10 o'clock. I mean, and Thursday and Friday, it'll be decent. The weights will still be, you know, pretty decent. But as far as winning, it's going to be, man, if somebody had 13.5 or four, like if I was in it and somebody said, hey, you can have 13.5 4 days in a row, I would stay at the house and take my chance. It's like, it's going to be, because, I mean, you're thinking about 3 days or 3 or 4 days before the 4th of July, the weekend before the 4th of July. You're talking, I don't think people realize how many pontoons and ski boats get out there. So it's going to take, you know, it's going to take you 15 minutes to get to your first spot. And then it's going to take you 35 minutes to get back just from the boat. So you can't run in that stuff because they're coming from every direction.
They're going out of the park, right? They're going all the way.
They're going out of park. Yep. So there'll be a lot of running, I mean, all the way around. It's going to take you an hour to get back from wherever you're at. So Saturday and Sunday, I'm not jealous of that Saturday and Sunday out there.
Yeah.
Unless they get fortunate and if it's raining or storming, it'll make the fishing better and it'll keep those boats off. But I don't know. I'm not that jealous. If they was here in April, I would be jealous.
Yeah.
But man, in October, in July, whew, I don't know. I've never fished down there in the daytime. I mean, we fish those morning tournaments, but we leave out before daylight and we're back at 10. And usually it's, man, if you have 11, 12 pounds in those tournaments, you win. And they're not even going to get that morning bite. And you usually catch your two or three big ones, first few minutes right at daylight, and they're not going to get any of that. So, I don't know. It's going to be tough on them. But before facing, they're going to be a lot of fish caught.
Will we see Koya Fujita win that one probably on some little square, little rubber dice or something? I know we got Joe Lee in there. We got Gerald in there. We got some – Joseph Webster knows Smith really good too.
Yeah. It'll definitely be one with live scope, I believe. Now, if a guy could catch a big one every day, if he figures out a shade deal or something where he could get a couple bites on the bank, but man, you might get those two bites, but you may not have nothing to fill the limit with. So if it's an over, like if they have to weigh in 15 inches, I'm sure they will if it's 15 inches and over. But man, those schools of 2.5 to 3 pounders that you see, like in May and June, or like really April and May, when they get done post spawn, man, they're not out there like they are. It's like 15 inches, so it's, I don't know. It's gonna be tough. It'll definitely, live scope's definitely gonna play, but I mean, I think somebody will definitely, they'll do good on, a few guys will do good on the bank, no doubt.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they'll get in. Man, I'm giving away the juice here, but they get in these huge schools of giant bass just swimming down the bank. Like, it's crazy. I'm talking about like 44 pounders will just be cruising down the bank. But you may go 3 days and never run into that. But if a guy does, he may catch three of them. And, you know, he may have 16 or something like that one day. Yeah. But you just can't count on that happening. It's just not. But man, people send me videos all the time of these giant schools of bass just swimming down the bank, and all those little ones are out in the middle, and it's like those big ones are on the bank. But I mean, it's so hard to know where they're at. Like
I've seen that a couple times in like August, September down there poking around. And all of a sudden, you're like, what? Like just kind of, and you can't repeat it.
No, you'll never see them again the rest of your life. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. But they'll. Like I've always said this, pro anglers are the best fishermen and the luckiest fishermen in the world. We got both of them, and somebody will run into it. I mean, we're the luckiest. I mean, they're some of the best, and we're some of the luckiest. That's for sure. I've seen it. I mean, I feel like I'm lucky half the time. But, yeah, there'll be somebody run into that. There's no doubt. And if somebody could do it 2 days, man, they could really have, good bag if somebody was just destined to win. But it's just – oh, it's going to be tough to catch those big ones. It is, man. A 3-pounder is just going to be like – it's going to be like catching an 11 on fork this week.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking watching those weights. I'm like, one day weight is going to be in the top 10, like at fork. One day is going to be a top 10 at Smith four days. Yeah. That's what's crazy.
I think it's the most intriguing tournament on their schedule this year. I do. I think at that one, it's the wild card. It's like the Sabine was last year. It was a turning point in Angler of the Year race, I think. And I think y'all got – what's the river in North Carolina y'all go to? I think Shawan.
Shawan, yeah, Shawan River. Yep. I don't know anything. I haven't even looked it up on the map yet.
For me, that's the turning point for y'all too, I feel like. That's kind of a weird one.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It's late. So it's in the summer too. I think that's where we're at when they're here.
I think so.
Yeah. End of June, so it'll be – I bet you we catch more than they catch here, that's for sure.
I bet, I'm sure. Y'all catch more largemouth.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a guarantee. Yeah. Y'all make sure you're following Jesse Wiggins on all social media. He does a good job. He's always keeping it real for y'all, and he's hilarious. He's my favorite follow on social media because he's always going to be commenting something somewhere.
Yeah. You'll see me, man. There's no telling where y'all see my name comment. Like I said, I'm just a fishing fan. Like I don't know. I'm always looking. I'm going down rabbit holes, looking at fishing videos and stuff.
Same.
You never know where you see my comment at, and I'm not scared to leave one.
I love it. Me either. I love it. Jesse Wiggins, everybody, appreciate you, buddy.
Thank y'all. Thanks for having me.
Well, all right. That's all she wrote with Mr. Jesse Wiggins. Hope y'all enjoyed that as much as I did. He's always a pleasure to talk to. He's always got some great, great insight on things and get you a few laughs in there. And man, just absolutely just tearing it up these days. And I'm so proud to see that because I'm a Jesse Wiggins fan. Always have been, always will be. Thank y'all for tuning in each and every week. I greatly appreciate y'all. Y'all know this, but I have to say it because I mean it. My life is crazy because of the lowlifers, and I really, really appreciate it. We've got some exciting things coming up this year, and I got y'all to thank for it. That is for sure. Tulsa, Oklahoma, March 23rd, the Hunt Club, Bassmaster Classic Week. Be there or don't, but be there. Try to be there. Go take y'all out with some Biloxi Blues, and I will see y'all next week. Watch MPFL this week. We're going to do battle down on the border. See you. MPFL Championship.
Down to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name. Just a white line gypsy getting